grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from Luke 3. Join me in prayer. Lord, this day richly bless us. Teach us, guide us in your word. As you amaze the teachers of the law in the temple, so ever amaze us and do more than amaze us. Give us faith to believe in you, to trust you. And may we grow in understanding and wisdom in your word this day and throughout this year, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, a Merry Christmas, a blessed, happy, happy, happy New Year to all of you, 2016. Happy New Year. Enough of the niceties. Let's get down to business. No time to waste. A very blunt, straightforward question today that arises from the gospel that Jesus asked. It's his first recorded words in the Bible at the age of 12. Very blunt, straightforward question that he asked Joseph and Mary, his mom and dad. He asks you today, why are you looking for me? Again, his first words, and they ring and they pierce our hearts. What do you want from Jesus, dear friend? What are you looking for him in a new year? What do you want from God? Why are you here in the house of God? What do you want? He would ask. Now, Joseph and Mary, they of course are his earthly parents, and they see him only as a 12-year-old son at this point, and we want to take care of you. That's why we're here. Jesus, you're our son, and you're missing. We're in great distress. And we are here to take care of you and love you. You're our little boy, 12 years old, of course. Well, there are much deeper reasons to want Jesus than that. He's teaching even his mom and dad at the age of 12. And he is teaching you and I. Why are you looking for Jesus? Well, maybe this new year. Jesus, God, give me a new job, please. I hate my job. I want a new job. I want to make more money, please. Maybe the lottery. Or I really want better health. I'm sick. I'm dying. I got all sorts of trouble. Give me better health, a better doctor's report. Help me get in shape, please. Or may there may not be so much war. Get rid of ISIS and all the bad guys out there. Please give me just a happy, easy life and make it comfortable. Please, God, do something for me. I'm in distress. And these are not horrible prayers at all, but they're all quite temporal and shallow compared to the real things we should want from Jesus. And he teaches us what we should desire of him in his house in the story today. He's teaching his mom and dad and you and I. And there are three things that we want from Jesus, three reasons why we are here, why we are looking for him. Because he is Lord, and because he is the Lamb, and because he will live forever. Need any other reasons to be here? First of all, he's teaching Joseph, Mary, you and I, why are you looking for me? Because I am Lord. Don't you realize, Joseph and Mary, I am God in the flesh, not just your 12-year-old little boy, but I'm the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, God himself. You should know that and believe that. That's why you should look for me, not so you can take care of me, but so that I can take care of you because I'm God. This is highlighted in the text, who Jesus is. More than just a 12-year-old boy of Joseph and Mary. Notice the comparison. His mother says to him when they find him, son. Notice she calls him son. And he is by his humanity. Why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I. She calls Joseph his father. Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. All that is true, humanly speaking. But then Jesus says, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Underline those words. It's the key to the text. Don't you realize I had to be in my Father's house? In other words, Joseph and Mary. Don't you realize that Joseph's not my real dad? No disrespect, Joseph. He goes on to honor Joseph, and he always did. But Joseph's not my real father. You know that, Mary. That what was conceived in you and born from you is not from Joseph. And Joseph, you know that you're not my real father. My real father is God. Don't you realize that I am the eternal Son of the Father, and therefore I can get you back to the Father? in glory and in heaven. So again, you shouldn't be looking for me so you can take care of me. You should look for me so I can take care of you. For I am your God and your Lord. And this is why we are here. That the Lord on high take care of us. That we look and listen to him. You know, I turn on the TV around 7 o'clock in the morning, or Ann does, and we catch a little news before we go to work. The national news and what's going on in the world. And the last couple months, we always see faces on the TV pretty quickly on the TV. One of them is of Donald Trump. And I used to kind of turn up the volume. What's he got to say today? He has a bigger mouth than Pastor Buscher, I think. But now I kind of bury my head in the pillow and say, oh no, there he is again. And then they show Hillary Clinton. And I dig my face deeper in the pillow. And then of all things, they show Bill Clinton. He's campaigning. And then I want to turn off the TV. I don't want to look at these people. I don't want to listen to these people. It's going to be 10 months of this nonsense. And then there's Jesus. Oh, how I want to look to Jesus. And I want to listen to Jesus. He is my Lord. He is God himself. He can get me back to the Father. I'll listen. For he has the words of eternal life. That's why you're here. Secondly, we are looking for him because he's the Lamb. He's the Lamb who will sacrifice and has sacrificed himself for the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. And this is an emphasis of the text too. Notice where they are in Jerusalem and what time of the year it is. This is important. It's Passover time. And what happened at Passover time? Well, they renewed how God saved them from Egypt. And how did God save the people from Egypt? By the Passover lamb. The blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their homes. And during the Passover, they're in Jerusalem, they're in the temple. They sacrificed lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb. Thousands of lambs sacrificed. Blood all over the place. Smelled like a butcher's shop. The blood of lambs reconciled the people to God. Made them right with God, forgiving their sins. And so Jesus says, don't you realize, Joseph and Mary and all of you First Lutheran folks, don't you realize I have to be in my Father's house? I have to be in the temple. It is necessary. It's my goal, my destiny. It's why I've come to be in the temple. To do what? Not just to teach. Yes, there's that too. But I've come to be your Passover lamb. I'm the lamb who must be slain. I must be in this house, that I be slain, that I die and be the sacrifice of sacrifices for the sins of the whole world, that we end all this blood by my blood. We end all these lambs because I'm the Lamb of God, the Lamb that God himself will sacrifice. That's what he's teaching. His death, it's necessary. This is my goal, my destiny, to be the Lamb who will shed his blood for the sins of the world. And so why do you come here to God's house January 3rd, 2006. Why will you be here Wednesdays and Sundays? Why do you come? And I hope you come all the time. We don't come because it's commanded. Yes, it's commanded, but there has to be a better reason than just commanded. Because when I hear commands, I don't want to obey them, and neither do you. We don't come because we have a great choir, and it's great to have the kids sing. We have a wonderful choir in Hambles. Don't come for that only. We don't come to see pretty windows. We don't come to talk to each other. We don't come to come look good before God and try to earn some brownie points. We come for the Lamb. We come to eat the Lamb's body that is immortal and powerful and has conquered death. We come to drink the Lamb's blood that washes away sin. Not blood on my home, but blood on my heart now that makes me clean and pure. I come to receive the forgiveness of sins, that I be right with God, that I have peace with God. And when I have peace with God, all life is good. Hell can attack me. The devil can attack. Sickness, disease, I can lose my job. But all is good because I have peace with God. I'm going to heaven and my sins are washed away. And that's why you come, friend. To be with the Lamb and partake of the Lamb of sacrifice. That has to be the primary reason. And if that's the real reason, you'll be here all the time. But if you come just to show off and put in your time with God, you won't come that much. I read some quotes from the past year, famous quotes of people from the past year. And I don't know why this one made it, but it's one of the great quotes of this past year. It kind of struck me. Someone said, I see life as like being attacked by a bear. You can run, You can pretend to be dead, or you can make yourself bigger. That's just foolishness. Life is not about being attacked by a bear. But a lot of people live that way. They're afraid of something. The big bear is something bad out there that's attacking me, chasing me, whatever it is. And I'm going to run, or I'm going to play dead and not live, or try to fight back. But I'm afraid of everything out there. Life is not about being attacked by a bear. Here's life. Life is being loved by a baby who lay in a manger. Life is about being loved by a 12-year-old boy in the temple teaching. Life is about the Lamb hanging on a cross for 6 hours, dying for your sins and my sins, the sins of the world. And life is about that Lamb who rose again on Easter and is with me in the church and with me every day of my life, will never leave me or forsake me. That's life, being loved by my God, at peace with God, forgiven of my sins. And when I have that, I don't run from anything. I don't play dead because I live. I don't have to make myself bigger. I'm already as big as I can get. I'm a child of the living Father. And nothing conquers that. Don't be afraid, little flock. And last of all, we ever come and look for Jesus because he lives forever. This story is really a little story of Easter. Did you catch Easter in the story? It's Good Friday, but it's also Easter. It's both. Not a surprise that in his life he would foreshadow why he's really come to die and to rise. Notice the great foreshadowing of Good Friday, Easter. They have traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem. And so Jesus, later on, 21 years later when he's 33, will travel from Galilee down to Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem where he will die and rise. It's Passover time. 21 Passovers later, he'll be there in Jerusalem. He is gone for 3 days, and so he will die and be gone for 3 days, and they will find him on what day? Not the first day, not the second day, not the fourth day, or the ninth day. They'll find him on what day? The third day they will find him. It's all right there. And there is no doubt great joy of Joseph and Mary and the family. We found Jesus. He's okay. He's in the temple. It's all good. This foreshadows the greater joy of Easter coming. When we, quote, find the living Jesus, or rather, he finds us, and he says to Mary Magdalene, Mary, and she grabs his feet, and he finds his disciples in the upper room scared and says, peace be with you. Here I am. It's the third day. Here I am. I've conquered death. I've conquered hell. I am your Lord. I'm the Lamb of sacrifice. Your sins are forgiven. I live, and so you will live also, and so don't be afraid. So we should shout with this text, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It's a little Easter. And we come always because we have a living one here. We don't come to worship a dead guy. We worship a man, a God who's conquered death and lives. And as I'm baptized in his name and believe in him, I will live forever too. You want to live forever? You want to live forever and be immortal and glorious? That's why we come to partake of Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the resurrection. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. And he's everything in between, too. And that's why we're here. I don't know about you. I want to live. A riddle to close today. See if you can figure this one out, and I'll tie it in. Here's the riddle of 2016. The man who made it doesn't want it. The man who bought it doesn't need it. The man who needs it doesn't know it. What is it? It's a coffin. The man who made it doesn't want it. The man who bought it doesn't need it. The man who needs it doesn't know it because he's dead. Little riddle on death. My friend, don't make any mistake about it. It's a little riddle, but death is no riddle. Death is no mystery. We're all going to die. This may be the year you die or I die. It's a reality. What's going to happen? Are you ready to die? You'll either go to hell and be where it's weeping and gnashing of teeth forever, or you can live in heaven where it's glory and peace and saints and angels and God forever and the resurrection of our flesh and immortality. Where do you want to go, heaven or hell? This text reveals to us, as every text does, that Jesus is the way to life. He's the way to glory. He's the way to the new day of heaven. We find him now in this church. We'll find him in the heavenly temple when he comes again and takes us there. He's the way. No riddle, no mystery. Hold on to him this year. Your one resolution, just hold on to Jesus. Hear the word. Take the sacrament. Confess your sins. Be in the temple and hear the word. And make sure your kids come and your youth come. Don't let them stay home and say they don't feel like coming. You bring them, mom and dad. You teach them and give them the word at home. And come and hold on to Jesus Christ that we may live. It's a blunt question. Why are you looking for me? What do you want from your God in 2016? We want him because he's Lord. He's our Lamb. And he lives. Praise be to Jesus. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's sing the offertory.